Good morning, everybody. Hey, Ben. Let's just take this time to just greet each other, say good morning to the person next to you. I know this is not a normal thing, but I love to do this. So just say good morning to the person next to you. If you're not next to anybody, just say good morning to God. And our passage today is going to be Hebrews 3, 7 to 19. So let's all turn to Hebrews 3, 7. And when you're there, please look up at me. This is just something I like to do. So when you're there, just look up at me. All right. So we're just going to start reading. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. I'm just going to take this time to pray. Father, I ask that you would be here. Lord, I just want to say good morning to you. It's going to be a great day. And I just want to thank you, God, for waking us up all here today and bringing us out. I just pray that we'd all have a heart to hear and ears to receive. We just thank you so much for all that you're going to do. And thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So today, I wanted to specifically talk about this aspect of rest. Now, I know that we're all at early morning prayer, and rest might be something that you might feel you're missing out on by coming to EMP, but I believe that there's a powerful word for somebody here today about rest. Now, in Hebrews, this book of Hebrews is kind of this, it's like this behemoth of a thing. Like, when people read the book of Hebrews, they're sometimes usually confused about what's going on. So I just want to say, in Hebrews, a running theme that runs throughout the book is this theme of rest. And if you actually look in the beginning of Hebrews 3:7, the beginning of our passage, that's actually an excerpt from Psalms 95. And it references the journey of the Israelites to the promised land, and it talks about that. But it connects it. Usually we go like, the Israelites are entering into the promised land. But here in Hebrews, it talks about Israelites entering rest or not being able to enter rest. So instead of the promised land in Hebrews, it's described as rest. So the first thing I want to talk about is what kept the Israelites from entering the rest of God. It says in verse 19, so we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Unbelief is what kept the Israelites from entering the rest of God. Now, I just want to kind of illustrate a little bit. I feel like I was reading this passage, I could kind of relate to the Israelites just a little bit more. Now, the Israelites weren't always people that didn't not believe in God, but they didn't always start in unbelief, but they actually started in belief. See, when the Israelites, when they saw the Red Sea opening and when they saw all these miracles, I guarantee they believed in God. They believed in who he was and what he could do. But the thing is, they walked around the desert for a really long time. They had no water and they kind of didn't have a place to call their own home. Now, for me, I've been living out of a suitcase for 3 months, and It is starting to wear down on my soul and my spirit. It is getting to a place where all my clothes are always wrinkled. I never have a clean shirt. I always have to iron it or use my hair dryer to like heat it up and then rub it out and then flatten it. So it takes me a while actually to get a fresh shirt. So I've been moving around from place to place, from Discovery Bay to Happy Valley, back to Discovery Bay. And I could tell you that if you don't have a place to rest, you start to get a little agitated. You start to get a little, I don't know what it is, but you're more on edge. You don't feel at rest. And I believe that this is also how the Israelites felt, that they would literally carry their home around. They would pack up or set their tent up, and then God would come. And then if you don't know the story of how the Israelites did things, God would come and then there'd be a cloud. That means they would stay there, and the cloud left. They would have to move, and they would have to just be everywhere. And I can imagine how tiring it would have been to set your whole home up and then take your whole home down and move it and carry it. That I'm complaining about like a little suitcase filled with like four pairs of jeans and a jacket and three t-shirts. But if I had to carry my whole house with like pots and pans and ingredients, I would be pissed. Like, God, don't move. Like, I just set up my tent last week. Like, God, don't move. And then we have to take everything up again. See, I believe that when God doesn't allow you to settle and he moves you from place to place, what it does is that it tests your heart. A lack of rest will expose a person's heart to the fleshy undercurrents that lie dormant at times because of satisfied circumstances. I'm just going to repeat that because when I was preparing it, that was so good for me. A lack of rest will expose a person's heart to the fleshy undercurrents that lie dormant at times because of satisfied circumstances. See, when we're not in this season of constant moving, when we're allowed to settle down and be satisfied and kind of get used to a place, what happens is some of the circumstances that are in our heart are met. So we're not actually exposed to what's going on in our hearts because we're satisfied with where we are. But imagine if you had to move from place to place week to week and you were never allowed to settle down. You were never allowed to sit in one place and get used to an environment or a job. Imagine if you have to move from job to job, month to month. Man, that'd be so aggravating. It'd be so tiring. And what gets exposed is what actually is in our heart, the frustration. The God, why don't you let me settle down? See, it is actually in these seasons of constant moving and trials and tribulations and not being able to fully rest that I believe that unbelief starts to creep in. In these seasons, in these moments where moving from place to place, I believe that's where unbelief tends to creep in. And it says in Hebrews 12 right here, 3:12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. See, I believe that's why the author of Hebrews wrote that, is because he's saying, hey, one another, we need to exhort one another not to have this unbelief, to hold firm in our promise. See, the author of Hebrews was writing to Jewish Christians that were struggling during that time, that were going through hard times. And it is often said that we are actually, you know, everything in the Old Testament is parallel to the New Testament and even today. So we're actually, it is said that we're actually, I heard this in my seminary class, which blew me away. We are like the Israelites going through the season of wilderness, which is this earth, trying to enter into the promise of God, the rest of God, which is with Jesus when we die. Isn't that so good that we're this whole life, this life that we're walking through, that we're journeying through, it's not perfect. But you could describe it as wilderness in a sense. where there are moments where you find a spring and you're able to drink and you're able to find rest only at the next moment to move again. I feel like especially in Hong Kong, people are so used to like moving around and actually not being able to rest that I feel like this message might apply to some of you. So as it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. He says, the author of Hebrews says, today. And that's what I feel like he's saying. If you're alive, if you're here, if you're present, exhort one another. Encourage one another to hold firm to the promises of God and not to fall into the deceitfulness of sin. See, we need each other. I need Cardia. Cardia needs me. I need Jeff. Jeff needs me. We all need each other in this race. As we're going through this season of wilderness that we call life, we need to be able to exhort one another, encourage one another to continue to hold fast onto the promise of God, that we will enter this rest by belief. Because when we walk through this life and we go through hard times and we're not allowed to settle and we're moving from place to place, what starts to happen is there's a chance for unbelief to start to creep in our hearts. But our job as brothers and sisters, a people of God, is to encourage each other. Let's start to believe. Let's continue to believe. Let's hold on to that belief. See, when it comes to encouraging one another, there is no rank. There is no pastor. There is no house church leader. There is no house church member. I feel like sometimes when we do these things of having leadership titles, which are good, we get into a mind of, oh, I can't really encourage Pastor Sam. Like if Pastor Sam was here and he's coming back today, so, you know, we're all excited for what he's going to bring. If he was here today, and I would feel weird if I came up to him and was like, hey, Pastor Sam, continue to believe in the promises of God. That's like, what? Like, you're telling the head pastor? Dude, he already knows that, bro. But I feel like we get into this mode of kind of having this hierarchy where we no longer can exhort one another freely. But it's like, oh, I don't have that access or I don't have that authority to encourage somebody. I firmly believe the biggest encouragement is actually when my own college small group students would tell me, hey, Tony, keep running the race. So I encourage every one of you guys who are in a house church, text your house church leaders, hey, keep running the race. Believe in the promises of God because we're called to exhort one another to not fall into the deceitfulness of sin. And lastly, I just want to talk about like Hebrews in this chapter. He's talking about this rest. He's like, this rest. Like, what is this rest? See, I believe that the author of Hebrews is not talking about, hey, you know, just wait for that next season where God's going to lift you up and it's going to be awesome. Or, hey, wait for the day where you can, you know, ask your boss for those vacation days and take, you know, time off. Because that's what we associate with rest in our society, right? Even as Christians today, we associate rest as having time off. Having time off to ourselves, to re-energize or refocus. But I want to say something else, that the author of Hebrews here is actually talking about eternal rest. Eternal rest, not just rest that is temporary, but rest that is permanent. Woo! Woo! Rest that is permanent. That's good. See, I believe that there's a call for every Christian, and this is what we forget sometimes. There's a call for every Christian to live in the present with the perspective of eternity. We're called to live here now with the perspective of eternity. I know those verses, be the salt and light of the world. You know, people say, you got to be in the world, but not of the world. And there's so many sermons like that, which I believe are good and part of this living life with God here. But I believe that we are meant to have the eternal life forming our grooves and our mindset and our lifestyles. That we are meant to form our lifestyles with the perspective of eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:17 to 18. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. All throughout Scripture, you see this thing where it says, hey, there is an eternity waiting for you. And sometimes, and I believe even in my own life, I get so wrapped up in the promises of God here for me now, maybe in the next season, like, oh God, I wonder, you know, how are you going to make like my future ministry or my future spouse? And we make all our promises here, but we forget about the eternal. Like, how many of us here are actually waiting for the day that we die? That's awesome, Ben. I need to learn from you more, man, that to learn to actually be someone who lives in a way that they're excited or they're waiting for the eternal stuff, not just for the temporary stuff. We believe that the promise, I believe that even when we hear like modern, you know, sermons these days, whether it be, you know, from very modern churches that are doing some really great things, all the promises are for here, or talking about your situation now, or how to get out of your situation, or things like that. But I want to encourage you here today that, hey, it's not about right now, but it's about eternity. It's about eternity. See, I can't wait to enter into that permanent rest, because rest here on earth sometimes sucks. So much. See, true rest is not something that we do. We believe here on earth, I have to rest. It's something that we do. It's something that I participate in. I just rest, or I take a day off. But I believe true rest is not something that we do, but it's actually something that we enter and that we are going to enter. We have a partial revelation of what rest is. You know, the Sabbath day is just a partial revelation of the fullness of what we're going to experience. Permanent rest. Because rest is not man-centered. Sometimes we put ourselves in the center of rest. That, okay, I need to re-energize, which is good. So I'm going to take some day off or time off, or I'm just going to binge on Netflix. I'm just going to watch the whole season of Terrace House in one sitting. Like, if you guys don't know what Terrace House is, go check it out. This is not a paid advertisement. It's just awesome. But so we come and we put ourselves in the middle of rest. But rest is not man-centered, but it's God-centered. Even the Sabbath day, yes, it was for us, but it was for us to come back into a deeper understanding of the Lord. See, even rest itself, the Sabbath was started by God. He was the originator of rest. So I just want to encourage us here today. Hey, if you're going through a hard time, if you're going through difficulties, if you're shaken by your present circumstances, I want to tell you, keep believing in the Lord. Don't let unbelief come into your heart. Be militant about that. Don't even be passive about that, but really be a person that says, I will not allow unbelief into my life and into the life of others. That I want to encourage and exhort all of you, continue to hold fast to the original confidence that we have in Christ. And not just that, but I really want to impart this last thing, if anything, is rest is not something that we do, and it's not focused around us, but it's something that we enter, and it's focused around God. So as Cardia comes up and leads us into a little time of prayer and worship, I just really want to encourage you, or even challenge you, how have you seen rest? Or do you even feel at rest here today? As you're about to go into your job or into your full-time shift, do you feel rested? as she leads us into that, into the song and prayer, I really want to challenge you guys. Let's come into the rest of God. For resting is not something that we do where we just, oh, I need to take this time off. But it's something that we enter. So the author of Hebrews says, let us exhort one another. I want to exhort you here today. Let's enter into his rest. So let's take this time to do that. Father, we come here, God, many of us having busy lives or maybe not having moments to rest, God. We come saying, God, we want to rest in you. God, we want to rest in the fact that there is an eternal rest coming. Dad, I pray that we would exhort one another to continue to believe in your promise. This is to continue to believe in you. That we would not allow disbelief into our lives, but believe in you, Jesus. So God, I pray that every one of us here would enter into your rest, God. That we'd finish the race strong. That we'd run this race, Lord. So that we may enter your rest. Thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's take this time to pray for those in our community. that are going through cancer and that are fighting this battle, let's just take this time to pray and intercede. And I really want to encourage you to choose one person and to intercede for them. Just because there's a temptation just to rush through this list or to kind of be lazy about it and just go into tongues real quick. But if we could just choose one person and just really intercede for that person, believing that the prayers that we pray are actually going to come true. So let's take this time to pray. Next, let's pray for those who are fighting illness and also needing salvation. Let's pray for these brothers and sisters and their relatives. Let's pray that really that we join them in their heart cry to see these people saved. And same thing, let's really choose one person and let's really pray into it, believing that God, would you bring salvation? Would you bring healing to the person that I'm praying for? So let's take this time to do that. Next, let's pray for those who are fighting infirmities or have these things that people are asking for healing for. Let's pray and let's intercede for these people, for our brothers and sisters on this list. Let's take this time to do that. Next, let's pray for our brothers that are seeking jobs, that are asking for a job or have been looking for one. Let's really intercede and join them in this time where they're asking for a way to provide finances and just kind of being moved around, kind of wandering. Let's really pray, God, would you lead them to the right job? Not just any job, but God, lead them to the job that you desire for them. So let's take this time to pray for them. Let's pray for our mission focus with Peace Sophia in Japan, Grace in Cambodia, Then Pastor Jenny with the Oasis House, let's adopt the nation today. Let's adopt them and let's really pray for them. Let's really pray and intercede for the brothers and sisters of this house that have been sent out and serving the different parts of the body of Christ. Let's take this time to pray and really support them in prayer. God, I just pray for Grace in Cambodia, Lord, as she's away from home, God, away from her community, has chosen, God, to walk a different path, God, a path that is harder than God, but for your name, I pray that you would support her, God, give her community. Lord, I pray that you'd surround her with a loving body of Christ. Next, let's take this time to pray for the Missions Council. Let's pray that every single one of them would be led and filled with the Holy Spirit, that they would have wisdom and discernment to lead the Missions Council. Let's really take this time that they would be blessed, that because they serve on this council, that they'd be even more blessed. Let's take this time to pray. Next, let's pray for our local outreach. All these outreaches take the church outside the walls. Let's pray. And even if we don't go out to any of these ministries, you have an opportunity here to be a part of what they're doing by joining and interceding for them. So let's not take this time just to be passive about this, but let's engage spiritually with what these ministries are doing. Let's take this time to do that. Next, let's pray for SP Fam. It's our foster and adoption ministry led by Cadence. Let's pray that this ministry would be very popular. I believe that God would send foster children that are in need of families. And let's also take this time to pray for Cadence. Let's pray for the Spirit of God to fill her and for her to be even leading this ministry with wisdom. Let's take this time to do that. Let's take this time to pray for our Friday evening gatherings. Let's really just pray that every meeting that is going on in this building would just be rocked by the Holy Spirit. Let's even pray that the other floors that have nothing to do with SP would feel a difference in the day-to-day, because I believe when the Spirit of God breaks out, He's not contained to a location. Let's take this time to pray and really cover every single meeting that is happening tonight. Yeah. Lastly, let's take this time to cover SPLI. Hearing God, I think it's led by James Tan. Let's pray that through this class that people would be encouraged and they would actually hear God. Let's actually pray that out of this class, there'd be another group of prophetic intercessors, people who can hear the Lord so clearly in their own lives and for the body of Christ. Let's take this time to pray. God, I just pray, Lord, for SPLI, Lord, that God, through this class, Lord, that you'd really raise up a group, a generation, God, of people who can hear your voice, God, prophetic intercessors, Lord, of people, Lord, not just for themselves, but God, they long to hear your voice for other people, Lord. God, isn't that the point? Isn't that how we do this, God? Is to hear your voice for others, is to love others, God, because it can't be just about us, Lord, but it's about others, Lord. Dad, I thank you so much for this EMP, for waking us up in this morning, God, to come to you, to hear your word and to pray before you. God, what an honor. God, I pray that we not see, God, coming to EMP as just routine or something that we do, but God, it's a moment where we get to be with you, God. I pray that, God, that we not have a casual heart when coming before you, but know that, God, you don't come with us with a casual heart, but a heart that burns. A heart that burns, I pray, Lord. That, God, that we'd encourage and exhort one another to follow you, Lord, to not give up, Lord, but to believe that we will enter into your promise, enter into the rest of God. So I pray, Lord, that as everybody goes off through their day and the weeks go on, Lord, that they would not be discouraged, but strengthened to follow you. Love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great time of prayer.